Hello? 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 Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
I am the Chrononaut. I am a knight of time. I travel the time stream in search of good podcasts. I am the Chrononaut.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our ooh la la. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
And I'm Ari.
And this is
Time Pop.
Oh, I'm excited about this one.
Guess who's back?
Back again. I traveled through time to be here for this again. I mean, Back to the Future too, guys. This is, you know, you're going over some legendary, amazing things here. This is some holy scriptures
and
time travel.
For our listeners, a little bit of time have passed in reality, but in our world, we are piggybacking just a few days after Back to the Future. So this is hot in our minds.
It's hot. It's like when it happened in the movies is 4 years, but for us, just 1 week. It's like time travel happening.
It's so great.
It's great to be alive.
It is great to be alive.
Yeah. In a world where time travel is possible.
Ari?
Yes?
What's your experience with this one?
So I saw this one a long time ago.
How close? Because these were all out by the time you saw them.
Yeah.
So when you saw the first Back to the Future, were you like, I gotta get my hands on the second one? Or
I honestly don't remember. I know I've seen the first one more times than the second one. I'm pretty sure I only saw the second one once.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's...
And I saw it before I became a time travel enthusiast.
Did you see two after one, though?
Yes.
Okay, well, at least it's chronologically
going. And I remember I saw the third one and liked it the least.
Yeah.
That's most people's impression, but...
The third one's fine. I mean, it's a period piece through and through. I mean, number one's damn near a period piece, but it's new and exciting enough that it kind of drives you through it. But the third one is... So that's the big question. Do we just stay on this train and bang 3 hours? Do we just let all this dust settle and break that out at a later date just to...
If I remember correctly, three is just a there and back.
Yeah. It definitely doesn't expand on any of the time travel.
It's sort of not... I mean, it's... Sure. I mean, they go from 55 to 85, and then from 1885 to 1985. So it's not exactly a there and back.
That's true.
It goes from 55 to 1885, and then from 1885 to 1985.
That's true.
So
it completes the original there and back. Because I always forget that these movies, this entire trilogy takes place in 3 weeks.
Yeah, and he says in this movie, he was like, you were just there yesterday in 55, and now he's back again. It's a day later.
It catches me off guard every time. Every time Marty goes from 55 to 85 and then Marty 2 comes running around the corner, like every time I get tingles, like, holy crap.
So the entire series takes place over the course of like 3 days or like a week or something.
I mean, well, in 1985, yeah.
No, for Marty's time.
Yeah.
He's in 1985, 55. He goes back a day later, they say, in two. And then three is probably like...
I think it's 3 weeks. I think he spends a week in 55. Okay. Takes him I guess Back to the Future 2 probably isn't a week.
They have to stay
3 days.
They have to stay long enough to get the DeLorean and getting it working in three. So it's a little bit of time, but
and then three is probably a week again. Because I think one is definitely a week. Yeah. Three is probably a week.
All right. So 2 weeks. You're going to do all this.
It's crazy. Yeah. Three movies.
Time.
Such so cool. All right. We're going to get into this.
Dun, dun.
Back to the Future. Released November 22nd, 118 minutes, rated PG, written and directed by Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale again. Back is Michael J. Fox, but this time he is starring as Marty Jr., and Marlene McFly.
Creepy.
Christopher Lloyd, Leah Thompson, Crispin Glover, sort of. He definitely got paid for this, taking over what we visually see as George McFly as Jeffrey Weissman. Thomas F. Wilson is back as Biff. Claudia Wells is unfortunately taking care of her ailing mother, and Elizabeth Shue steps in, taking place of Jennifer Parker, which they refilm the entire last scene of Back to the Future with Elizabeth Shue. Billy Zane is back as Match.
Yes.
J.J. Cohen is back as Skinhead. And he is, so Billy Zane does not return in Back to the Future 3, which is a bummer. I don't know why.
Because he actually filmed had a career by then.
Especially,
oh, yeah, they filmed them back
to filmed him at the same time.
Well, why would he be? I mean, they're not in the 50s.
He's got a gang. He's got punks.
Like the older version of him in 1885?
Yeah, why not? J.J. Cohen, the one who plays Biff's punk Skinhead, he returns in 3 as part of Needles' gang. Jeez. And Needles is played by none other than
Flea.
Oh, did he do anything else? Like, this isn't a huge role.
He's popped
but it's
up
a
in like
very,
other. I feel like he's been like another sci-fi film.
He was in. Oh no, that's Anthony Kiedis is in Point Break.
Yeah, that would be a waste of time.
3D is back. And then I just have to.
Casey Seismako.
Good job.
You're welcome.
And I didn't even write down who played these people, but Griff's punks are Data, Spike, and Whitey. And we have James Tolkien returning as Mr. Strickland. I forgot to mention this last time, the bum, the guy who plays the bum.
Yeah, he was actually in the first one.
Yes, he's in all 3. His name is George Buck Flowers, and he has 160 credits on IMDb. So don't sleep on that guy.
What was the guy that was talked about saving the cubbies? And he's...
Yes.
They show him in the past, too, in 55. He's in the movie twice.
Oh.
I think that's Charles Fleischman. Is that the actor?
Yeah. Where does he come back from?
I noticed when we watched this, he's in 55. Like, he worked at the Texaco or something?
Yeah. I didn't pick up on that.
And he's the same guy who's like in the future, he's like, wish I would have bet on the cubbies.
Because I didn't pick up on, the only reason I know that is because I watched the deleted scenes.
Oh.
And there's an extended scene in 2015 where he said, yeah, you stiffed me on $300 back in the 50s or something like that. Like, yeah. And let's not forget Elijah Wood.
What?
Yeah.
Who is he? I missed that. No, is he one of the kids with the hoverboards?
Nope.
Elijah Wood's in Back to the Future 2?
He sure is. He's in Cafe 80s. You have to use your hand? That's a baby's toy.
Oh my God. How did we miss
that? Hobbit himself.
Is this his very first movie ever?
He had a bunch of kid movies.
I don't think so. It might have been his first movie, but I know he acted. I shouldn't say I know he acted, but
wow.
He's definitely like a childhood actor. Like, I think he was at least doing commercials or something. Rotten Tomatoes critics gave it a 65, big drop on the critics, but the audience held strong with an 85. Oh, and just something I'm kind of glad I didn't bring it up because I think it is more appropriate than this. Just want to let everyone know that I played Doc Brown in a wedding. As a wedding officiant, I was my baby sister called me up and said that she wanted me to officiate her wedding. And to stay with the beautiful theme of her wedding, she asked me which doctor I would like to be, meaning Doctor Who. And I apologize to everyone out there. I'm not the biggest Doctor Who fan, not because I don't care. I just don't know where to start. And so I said, there is another doctor who travels through time that I am much more comfortable playing. She said, that sounds great. So I dressed up like Doc Brown in his 2015. When you first see him come back to 1985 in that getup, that's what I wore. I will be posting that picture as a wedding officiant. All right. That gets us in there with the facts. Yeah.
Fun tidbit.
It was so much fun. All right, Ari, do you have your short monologue ready for this one?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't. I'm just going to say it. I don't think you can do it.
Okay.
Oh, I'll put 10 down on her. I got 10 on her.
This one's tough.
Back to the Future 2 starts off where we left off in 1, where Doc comes back from the future just as Marty is about to go make out with his girlfriend. And he says, you have to come with me to the future. Your kids are in trouble. So he and his girlfriend get in his DeLorean, which now can fly, and they go into the future and they go to 2015. And in 2015, they come up with a scheme to help out Marty's son, who looks just like him. And he's kind of like a whiny dweeb. So what they do is prevent his son from going on a robbery or something with Griff. Descendant whose name is Griff. And I guess it's his grandson. But while Marty, the original Marty, is in the future, he buys an almanac of sports events that show all the winning teams from 1950 to 2000. And he buys it because he thinks he's going to go back to his past, 85, and then bet on games. So it's kind of shady. It is. He had the thought originally. So while they're in the future of 2015, old Biff sees them and sees the car and hears them talking about time travel, sees the almanac and steals it. He also then steals the DeLorean while it is parked outside of a house.
Just real quick, and this is something I always kind of forget to connect these dots. Biff sees the DeLorean take off from 1985.
Yeah.
So when he's in 2015, he sees this DeLorean again. He's like, huh, what's going on? So
yeah,
he's
kind of remembers
putting together those dots a little bit.
So Biff steals the DeLorean and the almanac and goes to 1955 to his younger self, gives him the book and says, you're going to bet on sports teams. Don't tell anyone about it. In the future, if a doctor and a dweeby kid come around, just kill them. And then he flies the DeLorean back to 2015, parks it where he found it, and as he's leaving the DeLorean, breaks his cane, leaving behind evidence that he was there. Then Doc Brown and Marty have completed their task in 2015 and decide to go back to 1985. When they get there, everything's changed and it's changed for the worse. Biff is a bazillionaire and the neighborhood's bad and everything's crappy. And they quickly discover that Biff has the almanac. And when Marty confronts him, Biff tells him everything, tries to kill him. Marty gets away. And Doc and Marty decide they have to go back to 1955 to get the almanac away from young Biff, and they do eventually after some shenanigans. They get it back. This is where things get hazy.
I mean, it's probably good to explain to them the alternate timeline theory, right?
Well, we'll do that afterwards. There's holes.
Basically, we're just in the background of the original Back to the Future. For most of this 55.
They succeed. He burns the book. He gets the almanac. He burns it. And of course, he's got a newspaper from 1985. And it changes before his eyes to show his reality going back to what he knows. And he has like a picture and it goes back to normal.
It's his. Yeah, it says, I think it's his father dying.
Oh, yeah. His father in the new reality died.
Yeah.
And instead of him dying, he's perfectly fine and everything's great. So they fixed it once again. Ripple effect is actually what the words that they used.
Yeah.
And then as they're trying to make their way back to 85, Doc Brown.
1985.
Right, 1985. Doc Brown is hovering in DeLorean in the sky. Lightning strikes it. He disappears. And then a car pulls up to where Marty is standing still in 1955 with an envelope that says, I got zapped back to 1885.
Doc's alive.
Doc's alive. Movie ends.
Then,
well, then he says, there's only one man that could help me now.
So he runs back to town hall. And the moment...
The Marty in the first movie zaps himself back to 85, he runs up on Doc and says, you have to help me. And the movie ends.
And then the movie
now
ends.
Now I'm back from 90. He's like, I sent you back to 85. He's like, yeah, now I'm back from 85.
I'm back from 1985.
Then he goes, great Scott.
And then there's a trailer for the third movie, which looks just like a Western.
Yeah.
Which
we're just hanging out in 1885 for 2 hours.
Yeah, which is Ari's least favorite genre.
A there and back period piece. Especially where there's no, I mean, I think number three would be fine, but I don't think there's any new time travel. You know, the whole movie is just them. Well, we'll get to that someday. Scott.
Yes.
Where do you want to start?
Where do you want to start?
I mean.
Do you want to start with the lovely hole that I identified as we were watching this?
Let's do some impressions, then the hole maybe.
Some impressions?
Impressions.
Whoa.
Like.
No, great, Scott.
Like that?
Like. I don't know. I have this thing watching it now. you know, whatever. I would say this about a lot of things, like, you
this
know, aliens
this
versus
is a bad
aliens.
Who's this an impression of? Is this,
of your mom.
Is this me?
That's what it is. Back to Future 1 just has so much heart. Everything's got a reason. The characters are believable. I like 2 because it just takes, now you really go more into like the complications of time travel. But there's something awkward about the film. I don't know if the script or like, there's just something weird about it. I remember now why I was slightly disappointed. I'm very excited. I like the future. I like that it's all over the place. There's more interesting theory, but there's just something off about it. I can't place my finger on it. I don't know if you guys felt that.
It's the same people who directed the first one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder if they took the success of the first one being from the over the top kind of wacky, almost overacting, and said, okay, let's play that up a little bit in the second one, because it feels almost less genuine. And
yeah, it feels less genuine. It's got less heart. I equate this to the Matrix trilogy, right? The Matrix as a standalone film was great. Great movie. They didn't know they were going to make sequels for it. Then they shot 2 and 3 back to back, and they kind of made up all this new lore and took the story in a whole other direction. And they kind of do that with 2 and 3. There's all this stuff with Chicken, him, like, he can't take being called Chicken. That's not in the first one. Like, there's a whole other 2 and 3 do a lot of similarities. You know, there's also that thing where they just keep playing on the same scene over and over again, right? The whole, like, him waking up, you're back in good old 2015, you're back in the West
floor.
You're back on the 27th floor, you know, that whole, they just keep playing on some same scene. I think in 3, there's like some manure jokes also, probably, you know.
It's the exact same manure that he hits in Back to the Future 2.
It's the exact,
like,
same
truck. That's the truck. Guy that's taking
Jones
the poop
manure
away.
Truck, yeah. You know, so that being, that's my critical side. That being said, cool to see they're going a little more complicated time travel theory. I remember in the time I saw it, just the fact where, you know, he tells Marty, like, the 55 that, you know, now this, we're in a different 1985, you know, and to really understand an alternate timeline, even for drawing the diagram, for us isn't a big deal because we analyzed the crap out of all this, but that was pretty advanced back then. And that was stuff we hadn't really thought about.
And I loved that they meant, because I don't know what movie we were talking about, but I was saying, like, you can't, if you go forward, you're stuck in this time. Like, the only way you can change something is to go back.
Right.
And I like that they explicitly say that in this.
Yeah.
Like, this really was, so this movie's f-ing amazing. It's always been amazing. And like, they definitely do humor first in this movie. Like you were saying, like, there's something, like, they just tried to build on what was good about Back to the Future 1. And I think what they really got out of it was, that's why they wanted Michael J. Fox over Eric Stoltz, because they were going for a feeling with it. But here's where we were with time travel movies in 1989.
Yeah.
They were obviously trying to tie a knot, but there's a deleted scene from 2015 where Biff, after he gets out of the DeLorean, so he goes back, drops the almanac off in 1955, brings the DeLorean back, gets out of the car and runs, and you can see him, how he's kind of hurting, and you don't really know what's going on or what happened to him. There's a deleted scene where he fades away and disappears because they've now created a different past where he doesn't make it.
Interesting. That plays into
That's so important.
And
that plays into the hole that I recognized instantly.
Really?
Yes.
Yes. She told me about the hole and I did not pick up on it. Ari picked up on it. Very smart. And she's totally right. So let's talk about this.
Can we start talking about holes?
Well, I'm going to finish this particular hole because I'll just say it. They took it out because the audience couldn't get it. The audience was just like, what the? I don't understand how he would go back and forth. Like, and they were just like, we'll just take it out because you dum-dums, we don't have time.
It's good to know they were smart
to
about
make
it.
This. So they, you know, as a movie-going audience, we just weren't, like, now you would almost have to do that to make it a time travel movie worth going to. But back then, they had to just back off.
Okay, so we're going to start talking about the holes.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the scene where Biff steals the almanac and then steals the DeLorean to go back to 55 to give it to his younger self. Theoretically, the moment that he gives it to young Biff, he would have then created the new timeline. Now, you could argue that the new timeline would not have actually been created until he made the first bet.
Right.
So he talked about, I made my first bet when I was 21, but you know, he got the almanac when he was in high school. And you see the almanac kind of with him throughout those same scenes of Back to the Future 1, you know, during the dance and McFly, you know, George McFly punching him. The almanac is with him that whole time in Back to the Future 2. So you could argue that he didn't change the timeline until he made his first bet. But some could argue that the moment that old Biff and went back and gave the almanac to young Biff, you've created a new timeline, because then you see old Biff go back to the 2015 and park the car and get out and everything is fine. But theoretically, as soon as you go back and change the past, yep, you've created a whole new ripple effect timeline, and he either would be changed when he goes back, or it would have been changed instantly when he goes back.
Right. Well, Doc even addresses that when he's talking about it. He says, no, if we go forward from here, we'll go to the wrong.
So yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, that is totally true.
So that is the question is, how old is Biff in high school? Because he specifically says in the movie, I made my first bet when I was 21. So if he held on to that almanac and
he might have for 3 years.
Yeah, and didn't make a bet for another 3 years, then yeah, theoretically, old Biff could go there, drop it off, and make it back in time before he changed the timeline.
So yeah, so how...
So that's the major hole. That right there is a major hole. But again, it can be argued that he didn't make his first bet till he was 21.
I don't think that's an argument, because that's like thinking of the past, like we have to wait for this to happen. In the future, that's all happened. It's not like we have to wait until it goes... Once that's planted his hand and, you know, it starts that future.
It changes something.
I don't think we have to wait 3 years, because that it's in the past anyway. So it doesn't make sense that like you're waiting on that linearly in the present.
So the deleted scene that you talked about was he goes to deliver the almanac and then instantly starts to disappear.
When he gets back to 2015, because you see him kind of stumbling and he's like hurting. You don't really know what the deal is.
Yeah.
He leans up against a taxi and then he just kind of fades away.
See, that makes more sense as far as actual time travel theory.
Wow, they thought it out.
But the audience probably didn't get it.
No, they didn't.
So that's why he's sick and coughing, is just that he's about to fade. Yeah. The way that Marty like loses feelings in his hands when he's about to fade, he's kind of just getting sick.
Where is the DeLorean in 1955 when Biff takes it back? I don't know why that, because he like drives around town for a while in young Biff's car.
So there's a few DeLoreans happening in 1955 right now. On November 12th, 1955, there's at least two DeLoreans going around. If not three?
Yeah, if you count Biff's, is it three?
There's three.
But
yeah,
he's only...
Marty's original, the new flying one, and Biff's. Marty's original is in Doc's garage. The flying one is behind the billboard because the other one's in Doc's place now. And Biff just drove up to young Biff and then left.
So if that's true, then Biff should have never been able to even get the car back.
Yes.
To them in that timeline.
What is great about this movie, and they didn't discuss it as much, is the chaos of once things go wrong, once you fuck with time travel, everything that could go wrong. Because like, yeah, right. The car could have not made it back to their timeline. They would have been trapped or erased. Everything would have been totally changed in a way that could not have been helped. That's one thing that goes wrong. The other cool thing about the movie is how they show when Marty's back in 55, he runs into the thugs, and now they have a new beef against Marty and they're trying to like take him down where they were in the first, and he can't let that happen because then they don't let Marty from Back to the Future 1 achieve his mission. Then he doesn't make it back to 85, and then none of this happens. He doesn't exist. So it starts getting into a mind like they don't go fully into it, but like when you interfere with past situations, how chaotic that can become.
Well, and this is in the first one, it's harder to notice, but with this one, it's kind of easier to imagine that what's happened has happened will always happen.
But that's not the case with this story, because this isn't a loop. That's only the case when it's a loop.
They treat this like it is not a loop. This is not a loop.
They in no way, shape, or form wrote this or intended this to be a loop.
No, but I mean, I don't think they wrote it knowing what they were doing. But just as fans of...
I disagree with that.
Well, they didn't write it to be a loop. But maybe what you're saying, they did not write it to be a loop. They obviously didn't. But what you're saying is by the nature of things, it ends up becoming a loop.
Here's what I'm saying.
It has to keep perpetuating.
Because just by the simple fact of the almanac being in Biff's possession for half a day should be enough to create a new timeline. Because that would fuck you up for the rest of your life.
Wait, I'm sorry. What would fuck you up for the rest of your life?
Just if someone came back, gave you an almanac of sports scores from the year 2000 to 2050, and then someone stole it from you half a day later. Just that life, even if you don't have the almanac to become a billionaire, just the act of that situation occurring in your life would change your entire future.
Well, I mean, I think what would more change his life is seeing Marty skating on a hovering skateboard is probably what he would remember most. Because at first he didn't believe the whole almanac thing. It took him listening to two different games for him to finally go, oh yeah, maybe this is a real thing. And then it just got stolen and it was gone. I think most likely what he would remember from that whole incident is Marty on a hovering board and being hit by Manure for a second time.
So either way, that is a new timeline.
Yeah. And they're bringing in that idea, but they still make it like it's one timeline that you've just new one. They don't make it sound like the other one exists. Even when Doc says that, be like, this is the new alternate time, but this is the new timeline.
Yeah, there is no multiple timelines ever intended in this story. So what you're saying is there's no another timeline. They just have altered the existing timeline in whatever way because of what happened to Biff. And sure, yeah, it's probably what happened.
But if we're out thinking them of what makes sense, then...
Even if Marty and Doc go back and fix their timeline, the Biff future should still exist somewhere.
What do
but
you mean,
I guess not.
Which Biff future?
The Biff Pleasure Dome.
Well, that aged Biff? You mean middle-aged Biff?
No, you mean the rich Biff.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying once we say correct 85, does that world exist? Does rich Biff exist or do they all disappear?
Well, according to Doc, because he does say the ripple effect and everything will change around Jennifer and Aini.
Yeah, that was weird.
So
I don't see why.
For this movie, in this movie's universe, there is one timeline and one timeline only.
That means what's happened has happened, will always happen.
That's saying that it's a loop.
Because here's why this movie is different about it. Because they are suggesting, suggest that if there was alternate realities, you could still exist. They have this whole fading thing, right? With fading from the photos or Biff fading out. That's saying that unless you're in this timeline, you don't exist. As opposed to like, there's some reality where Biff runs the city and there's some reality where Biff washes Marty's car and there's some reality where Biff is Marty's dad's boss.
Well, and I just realized if what's happened has happened will always happen, then Marty's mom would have the story about the boy that she nursed back to health that introduced her to George.
Right.
But that's where it come back to...
Right. What is that clause called again? Is that Bootstrap?
Wait, what?
It's not Bootstrap because they did it without him.
Here's what I'm saying. Just like I mentioned in the last one, I kind of brought this up during our Back to the Future conversation. What's happened has happened has always happened, but the ripple effect of correction always happens. So there's always a 55 to 85 where Calvin Klein doesn't exist, but then magically in 85, the ripple effect. So there is no reality from 55 to 85 where Marty's mom grows up telling the story about how Calvin Klein introduced her to George.
You're saying that doesn't exist.
It only exists by the ripple effect. It only exists by a course correction that happens through time travel.
Right.
So there's no 30-year real time experience of 55 to 85. There's only butterfly affected ripple. If it's only one timeline,
right?
That's not true.
You made that way more complicated than you need to. Yes. So what Desmond is trying to say is the reality where Marty's mom meets Marty's dad through Marty is the one and only reality now because the timeline was changed.
The other one doesn't exist.
The other one doesn't exist anymore. It got rewritten.
No.
No.
That's not what you're saying.
Not exactly. Because what I'm saying is that I'm saying what's happened has happened has always happened. And what's always happened is George gets hit by the car. She nurses George back to health. They kiss at the Enchantment of the Sea Dance.
That's the original, yeah.
They fall in love into a boring alcoholic 1985. And then Marty goes back and then those 30 years just get changed in a blink.
Right. But then it's not what's happened has happened has always happened. They're saying in the first run of time, that's how it went. And now it's been altered.
Once.
Right.
So this doesn't happen again.
No.
Oh, no, no. Oh, does it happen again? Well,
no.
That's a different. No. Well,
this story is not a loop, Desmond. I don't know why you keep holding on to that.
Well, it is in terms of that. Now, when Marty goes back to 85, he sees younger Marty and he's about to go back. And then he's going to come back and see that. So that's going to keep happening, right?
But here's the thing. If something were to go wrong, let's say Marty from Back to the Future 2 was not able to prevent the thugs from beating him up when he got off stage, that would change it. And then it would not have been what always happened has happened will happen, whatever you said. It will have changed it. And it's not what happened will happen was always happened. So it's not a loop and it can be changed and it will not always be what has happened will always happen because it got changed because it is one timeline going through it once. You can go through it and then go back and change it and then go through it, go back and then change it again.
Well, no, and I'm with you that that was the intention of the single line. But knowing at the end of Back to Future 1 that he sees younger Marty doing that and going back, is that not a loop now?
No, but that's an anomaly. The writers did not think of that. That's a hole. Yeah.
There's holes.
That totally. Is a hole.
As with every time travel movie.
That the writers did not think about. They did not intend for that. Unfortunately, that is what is happening.
Right.
But that is not what the writers had intended.
See, when I watch Back to the Future 2, I always imagine that this is how the original Back to the Future happened. We just saw it from a different camera angle.
I see what you're saying. Like, right, when the first one's happening, he doesn't realize that all those things are behind the scenes.
Like, those thugs are off stage during Back to the Future 1. That's how I imagine it.
That's not how I imagined it at all.
I'm in between you guys on this. I think that the original, this is the first time this is happening in time, but this will be looping from this point on, probably, with if you include the fact of like 85 that Marty goes back and all that stuff.
Yeah, because Doc's, I mean, 19.
But it's all going to keep happening the same. But their intention, they're just, the science, it's off. The science is off. There is holes. Their intention was that there's just one timeline. They weren't going into loop theory.
If you were to go back to just before, if another version of Marty were to go back to just before, let's take, for example, the dance, and then he would be seeing Back to the Future 1 and Back to the Future 2 all happen at the same time, but that doesn't mean that it's a loop. It can all be changed.
If Doc Brown from 1955 helps Marty fix the time machine and send him back to 85, and he still spends the next 30 years developing a time machine, he reads the fucking letter that says he's going to get shot and still invites Marty to that parking lot to go through with this. Like, what? That's...
Uh-huh. Yeah, I heard you say.
But no, I guess no. I guess if it's not a loop... No, he did. Yeah.
He has to.
Yeah.
He has to hang out with Marty... Until after that day to even acknowledge the fact that he met him in the 50s.
He opens up that letter, knows he's going to get shot, knows Marty's going to go back to 1955, and to not create a paradox follows through with that. That's a loop.
My big problem with this is I really believe in butterfly theory and chaos theory, and there's a lot of ways that things would have been very different.
I can see how you could say it's a loop and how we could think it's a loop and we can... figure out that it's a loop, but I think the writers wrote this to be one line,
sure.
To be linear,
you're absolutely right.
Ripple effect, one line. It's time travel, so there's always going to be holes and there's always going to be a way that you could loop it on itself, but I think it's intended
to be...
You're
so sweet, Ari. I like that she likes to stick to the writer's intent.
Well, it's going by the story, but by the story that they're creating. I mean, Terminator also was not going into them being a loop, but it is by definition of everything they're saying.
No, Terminator is a loop.
But they treat it like it's not, but it is.
Because they talk about fate.
That's what the writers weren't thinking, at least in the beginning. So, I mean, I don't know, in a similar vein, they're not fully thinking through the science on this.
I say destiny a lot in this.
You know, you were talking about just chaos theory and butterfly. Like, even old Biff getting the almanac, who knows how that could change him? Who knows if he would still be the same way with Lorraine, if all that stuff wouldn't play out the exact way it needs to. Like, there's some different elements. Once you throw that in, it changes a lot of stuff. The fact that, like, you know, now Marty's upset the thugs, like all the effects that this has on Biff's future, right? Even after this day, there's a lot of different, maybe Biff doesn't have kids. Maybe there is no Griff. You know, there's every small interaction has huge repercussions. Anyone that witnesses Marty on that hoverboard and how that changes them and what they go out and do. And
yeah, who the fuck is Griff's mom?
I know who made a child. They don't show him, you know, with anybody. Maybe he had some one night stand somewhere.
All right, shifting gears because we're just in this.
We're doing what we do. Out. We're tearing it to shreds.
Just some weird little things I wanted to get into. Just more history of this movie, of my life. Like, I remember in the early aughts, you know, I was buying DVDs by the bundles. I was just at that point in my life. DVDs were hot. I had the money to burn. And I was at a Sam Goody or something. Just, you know, I had a basket full of DVDs. And it just hit me. I was like, I don't own Back to the Future. Like, this is a crime. And I'm looking for it. I can't find it. I go up to the front desk. I'm like, do you guys have Back to the Future? He's like, of course you have Back to the Future. It's been Back to the Future. And he looked for it and he couldn't find it. And he's like, this is weird. And he looked it up. And it was coming out for the first time, like a month after that. I beat the DVD company to the punch by a month. And I ended up pre-ordering it right there. And then I came back a month later and picked up my freshly pressed first edition. And then I also, my favorite movie going experiences ever. On October 18th, how am I going to mess up this date? October 21st, 2015, I went to a Doug Loves Movies in downtown San Francisco, and I can't remember where it was, but it was the absolute coolest movie experience I've ever been to. Like, it was on point with a rock concert. Just the vibe and the feel, and everyone there was super excited, and it was the date of all dates.
And you saw Back to the Future?
Yeah, I watched Back, and that would have been, I think that was the first time I ever saw it in the theater.
It was on the date, right?
And then Doug Benson and I can't remember the two other comedians that were there kind of riffed over it. And it was super amazing. And what a great day. I love this movie. This really was like, I love Back to the Future, but Back to the Future 2, that's when I started to learn everything that time travel movies can be. And I never looked back.
I mean, it was a great mind at the time, like going to 2015, going back to 85 and it being different. We didn't see that coming. That was, I was like Darth Vader being Luke's father. And then you have to try to understand what was going on. And yeah, we weren't sophisticated enough then. It's really interesting that you keep saying that there weren't many time travel films up to that point. If there were, they were just about the absolute most fantastical kind of things. But
yeah, going back to dinosaurs or going forward to.
If you guys even look at everything you're doing for your podcast, how many of those are pre-1985? There's some, but it's minimal.
I love the Laserdisc scraps, the huge bundles of Laserdiscs when they first land the DeLorean in 2015.
I did not notice that.
Most of that garbage is Laserdiscs. It's so amazing.
I tried to explain to my 8-year-old daughter, she watched the first half of Back to the Future 2, and it's like, so this is a cafe about the 80s. This is them in the future, but it's a retro cafe about where he's originally from. And as I'm just saying that, it's just like, this is coming out way more complicated than I intended it to.
Why can't Jennifer just stay in the DeLorean?
Seriously, I watched this. Like, why do they treat her like a piece of... They leave her lying on a random porch.
Well, that was her porch, right?
It was, but it was at a time that's maybe not her porch anymore.
Well, they didn't know that.
That's true.
But why was she? Why
they go back
she,
in time without her?
Why couldn't she just stay in the DeLorean with Doc? All totally. Doc had to do was drive around the corner.
Well, better question: why did they leave a DeLorean? Ari said this. Why did they leave a DeLorean in the street, wide open,
with the door wide open? Like multiple times they did this.
That's right.
A little careless with a time machine. A little careless with your beloved girlfriend.
And again, they have a fucking time machine, and Doc goes back with exactly enough time to accomplish a universal altering goal. Go back a week early, let Marty ease into character. Let him know what he's doing.
Yeah, there's no rush. It's in the future. I'll give the movie this also. I thought, acting kudos to having to play different versions of yourself for the Biff and older Biff and Griff. You take on some different characters, and obviously Michael J. Fox, who definitely creeped us out playing his daughter. And not a man can act like a woman, and that's fine. The way he does it is like, he's like an android daughter. It's just, there's something super creepy about it.
Yeah, the way he decides to play future teens is weird.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
He overdoes it a little bit.
And that was, I watched this movie probably a dozen times before I realized that was even him. Like, it just didn't even occur to me. Like, I knew it looked like him, but I'm like, I just got a skinny white girl and.
You didn't notice that it was Michael J. Fox in drag?
Because he plays every other character.
Wow.
Never did.
He's his son. He's his older version. You know what? I like this movie too. Again, all the details in the first one. You just see in number two how they're setting up so much for the story for the third one. Right?
Yeah.
There's the Clint Eastwood scene that they're watching. There's like the duck hunt thing with his guns shooting. They're trying to label this whole how Marty messed up his life. There's always like these pivotal moments in their lives that set off things. And they're saying that right after the 85 one took place, he got challenged to a race. They called him chicken. He didn't back down. He got in a car accident that ruined his hand, ended his music career. And that's why he's kind of a bum in the future.
Why is original Marty such a badass? How does he become? I mean, I guess he just breaks his hand and his whole life just goes down. But he like stands up to everybody. Like he punches every version of Biff.
Yeah.
He doesn't take any shit.
He's the only one in his family.
And then, but in every version of his future, he turns into a whiny little prick. I don't know how that happens. Like, he's standing up to Strickland. He stands up to everybody.
What about the racist McFly boss in the future?
Ugh, the jinx, the jits.
Yeah.
The jits. How does Biff know how a time machine works?
Totally. Let that Senior citizen Biff. How does he know a DeLorean works? Take away the time machine stuff. The DeLorean existed for a very small amount of time. And that would have been ancient for them at that point.
When is the double tie going to come into fashion? I am ready to rock the double tie, like now.
I'm ready to have a hoverboard. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I think when you do films about the future, you should, there's just like those little things that'll, and fashion is a great way to show like what, you know, how things work. There was one point that he says to Marty to leave the pockets of their pants out. That's the way the kids are wearing it.
Well, that's, he says totally, they wear their pants completely inside out.
Yeah.
And so he just pull
them
out.
That totally could be a fashion. Like, that's, you know, we just come with all kinds of different stupid shit all the time. So those are fun bits.
I did like how they almost accurately corrected the Cubs winning. Weren't they only off by like a couple years or something?
Yeah, I think that, 1 year, actually. What,
is it 1 year?
I think so.
Yeah.
They won in 2016?
I think so. Yeah, that was pretty cool. Oh, and if you look closely enough, Jaws, 18 or whatever it was, was directed by Max Spielberg.
Ha. That's great. Yeah, I mean, the inventions, the self-lacing shoes, the drying and self-fitting jacket, very fun.
But come on. Where's our flying cars, guys?
It is strange to how far, not crazy that when you would think 30 years in the future, these things would be going, and for us to live through that 2015, and we're saying, no, we didn't, that's still not even close. We're just hoping for self-driving cars.
I didn't even question it when I was in 1990 that we were going to be flying by now.
You would have thought so.
Like, it was a given, but I was reading some stuff and they said that they definitely weren't trying to predict the future as much as they were just trying to have fun.
Yeah.
But they kept it realistic. I've never noticed this before either, just because I just have a habit of watching these movies and Fun Zone, that Biff's tower or whatever is where the clock tower
was. Yeah.
Yeah. I never picked up on that before.
It's fascinating that movies always predict in the future that you have TV screens that you talk to people on instead of the phone, but no one ever predicted carrying phones around with you that were also computers. It just never, it's funny. Everyone is the overall predictions, but no one thought of that.
And even the kids have their like personal devices, but they're connected to the landline.
They had the glasses, right? They had some like Google glasses. So that was kind of.
But they were like all getting the same phone call from a landline. We kind of touched on this a little bit, but just talking about compromisation of timelines. Wouldn't Biff betting on a couple of things throw that almanac off? Like, wouldn't that? I would think that I wrote down maybe he's from such a small town that he doesn't have enough power to affect the global sports community. But if someone went to Vegas and just started winning, like it would throw things off. Like,
you think it would throw things off for the sport that's being played across the other side of the country?
I do.
In like, a small way of like maybe either people being on the fix or feeling intimidated. Well,
like if point spreads aren't real. Point spreads are there to get people to level their votes. So if Biff is there putting $2 million on the Red Sox, all of a sudden that point spread goes up 10 points to get people.
And then that affects other people that have bet and their own careers and their own finances.
And it gets in heads.
And then that kind of branches out.
But that would affect the sport being played?
I think so. Like on a like I said, and now since he's in a small town and he's probably just, you know, off track betting and all that stuff. But in theory, that kind of wealth movement based
wasn't
on
the first
betting.
Bet that he made on a horse race.
Yeah. And that was probably just again, the first couple, I don't think it makes a big difference. But if he starts throwing $1 million down on every game.
Well, he won, you know, a couple of bets and then he bought an oil company or something.
Right. He became, they said he was one of the richest men in the world in this reality. That affects a lot of things.
Well, and the almanac expires in 2000. So in 2015, he hasn't been able to win a bet for 15 years.
Right. But then he invested, like she said, in another company.
The Biff Co.
And it's just this lawless 1985. They like to show the Lion Estates with this graffiti all over it. It's like Mad Max's cars that are crashed into buildings and they're on fire. It's like Marty's hell, right? We haven't talked about the fact that Biff killed his father in this reality, right? So he comes back that he doesn't live in his home. Biff killed his dad. His mom now is married to Biff. He's in boarding school. It's like it's this hell.
I thought it was interesting, though, that in this new timeline, Marty's mother and father still got together long enough to have him and his two older siblings. And then Biff killed Marty's dad and married his mom.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It could have been that once Biff got the almanac, that Marty was never born. And that's another great example of like how chaotic this could have gotten.
Yeah, most likely that's how it would have been.
And would have made money quicker. And yeah. Do you want to talk at all about the George McFly situation?
We touched on a little bit, but please. Yeah, a little bit. Please do.
Well, not, I mean, you know more about it, but they did not get Crispin Glover to be in this film. I think we still don't know the reasons for that. I bet it was artistic choice, but there's an actor that imitates the likeness of George McFly. He's mostly all the scenes when he goes back to 55, it's like from behind his head or from a distance or shaded out, except in the future where he's upside down because he has back problems. There's so much old caked makeup on and it's not him. And apparently Crispin Glover sued them and this changed the way that people dealt with actors and characters when they're in sequels or not in sequels.
Yeah, if you play the first one, it's your character at that point and you kind of own that IP to some extent. But I forgot for a minute till you started talking. So yes, the original reason or the two things floating out there was that Crispin Glover wasn't getting paid enough. He wanted more money because everyone else was getting paid more. And, you know, Robert and Bob said, you know, for the actor, for what he was doing at the time and the role he was playing, it was plenty of money. But then, strangely enough, Crispin Glover said that he didn't like that Back to the Future ended with Marty winning goods and services. So he got money and he got the 4x4 or something. And he thought that the compensation should have been love, which is interesting considering that all Crispin Glover wanted to be in Back to the Future 2 was more money. So interesting little...
So now there are clauses in the Screen Actors Guild collective bargaining agreements which state that producers and actors are not allowed to use such methods to reproduce the likeness of other actors.
At least not without compensation. I think you can do it, but you got to pay them for their, which at that point might as well just pay them to be in your movie. But. And now a little break for some contact info. First of all, I would like to say hello to Mary Lou Reese. I don't know why I only referred to you as my baby sister and refused to say your name out loud in the episode, but I dressed up as Doc Brown to marry Mary Lou and Jacob Reese. Thank you very much. That was an amazing experience and a lot of fun. Thank you for listening to Time Pop. Please like and subscribe and tell a neighbor or friend about it so you can share a discussion of your own on the topic of time travel. Stay tuned to social media for ongoing discussions about episodes and a heads up on what film is coming up next in case you would like to play along. You can find us at What Sounds Awesome on Facebook and Instagram and Sounds Awesome 2 on Twitter. We also have our Time Pop specific feeds that is at TPOP9216 everywhere. Please feel free to email us directly with questions and comments at wesoundawesome@gmail.com. Don't be shy if you're catching up on old episodes. We would still love to hear some new thoughts on old shows. And definitely let us know about a movie you would like to hear us discuss on a future episode. And also check out whatsoundsawesome.com to hear what else sounds awesome. Ari and Dez will be back in 2 weeks with a new Time Pop episode. But if you would enjoy another fun film discussion, tune into Rotten Popcorn next Wednesday, starring Scott and Dez. Next Wednesday, we are talking about The Forbidden Dance is Lambada. It's a very interesting movie, to say the least, at a very short particular period of time in our past. And now, back to the big finish. I'm exhausted from time travel discussion. That was amazing, you guys. that's why I do it. We did it.
But yeah, a lot of ways it could have gone wrong.
Thank you guys so much.
Thanks for being here, Scott.
Thank you for having me, guys. The future looks brighter with the two of you in it.
I don't know why I'm having a hard time time ending this one.
Because this is...
You always have a hard time ending
our episode. No, but this is...
That's true. Because I know, like, the book closed. I think it's because, like, when we first started this podcast, I always imagined going back and revisiting these movies. But, you know, I just have to move on to the next movie. So now I know as soon as I hit stop, this movie just disappears in my wake.
When you first started this, you probably thought, wow, when one day we'll do Back to the Future and Back to the Future 2, and that's now it's done.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Ari. We've done Back to the Future. Welcome to season 2, everybody. Episode 1,
whoa.
Season 2, Back to the Future 2. We've done it. It's 2020. Welcome everyone to 2020 when they hear this.
Oh my God, time travel just happened.
It's going to be a whole new year.
Maybe season 3 can be back in 1987.
Yeah.
Why 87?
I don't know. Mine's, you could travel back in time to do the future season. It'll throw people off. I like it.
I'm already lost.
Great.
Created a new timeline. I am Desmond McNeese.
And I'm Ariel Galah. Bye, guys.
What's happened has happened, has always happened.
What's happened has happened, has always happened.
And what always happened has happened will happen, whatever you said.